Good morning. I had 1 minute to say that before it was good afternoon, so it's never a good sign. But we've been the church this morning. We've prayed, we've interceded, we've pushed in, we joined with heaven. If we're not doing all those things, then we're just hanging out in a building on Sunday morning. And I just believe that God is pleased with our yes and our obedience. If you're new with us and we freaked you out a little bit, just hang in there. You'll see that our pursuit of Jesus is our core. And our love for each other is real. And so I just want to share something this morning real quick. And really, I have some encouragements I'd like to do, so I'm going to just get after it here real quick. So last week, I started talking about the promises of God. I want to tell you that they are a foundational piece for you being a disciple. They are a foundational piece for you being in full pursuit of everything God has for you. You have to know the promises of God, but you also have to believe that He wants to give them to you. Because I feel like the one thing I want to dismantle real quick, I said it last week, but I said it so quickly, I want to make sure that everyone understands. God is not using promises like a carrot in front of us, dangling in front of us to make us walk in a direction. That is not the God we serve. God is in a relational walk with us, and as we discover Him, we will discover the fulfillment of promises, even the ones we don't remember. And I just feel like that, so we laid this foundation last week that first of all, God has made promises with us. He's re-saying them. But I really had to speed through the end about the piece of like what's where He says, I want to teach you how to stand on them. I want you to stand on promises. I want you to fight from the place of that I will do it. I want you to recognize that this journey of discovery with me is everything. And I began to think about the verse that I launched in out of last week in Hebrews. And I read it and everybody got scared because it uses a word that none of us like. In Hebrews 6:12 it says, We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherited what has been promised. And I touched a little bit about how there's an effort piece in promises. There's a piece of leaning in. There's an obedience piece even when you don't know why you're doing it. Isn't that right? Sometimes there's obedience and you're like, why? And God says, trust me. You're like, why? He said, trust me. And you're like, why? And He goes, I don't always tell you the why. I just know, I want you to know the who. And so there's this place of effort, and there is a place of digging. There's a place of working. If you've been walking with the Lord at all, you know that nothing comes for free. It's all free, but it's going to cost you everything. And what I mean by that is Jesus gave it to us for free, but when you recognize it, you want to give your everything for it. And so there's that place of lazy, but I want to talk to you from a different angle because I want to talk about what the Father is asking of us in this faith and patience. What is He asking for? What's He looking for in His people? And the first thing I want to tell you is the word right there for lazy doesn't just mean lack of effort. It's actually from the root word where you feel like you're illegitimate. The root word right there is that you are lazy or you're not putting forth effort because you think that you're illegitimate and you don't have a right to the promise. And I feel like most of us, it's not an effort problem. I feel like the church is not really dealing with an effort problem. The truth is, there's a lot of natural man-made effort going on. The problem is a lot of us are dealing from an illegitimate problem that we really wonder if God wants to give it to us. And it comes down to the Luke 15 where many of us are functioning in the place that when we ran to the Father and the Father ran to us, we didn't have the, we had the negotiation where we're like, hey, would you just take me in and let me be a slave in your house? And the, in that story, God said, nope, you're a son. Bring the ring, bring the robe. But I feel like many of us are functioning from a place where we don't feel like God, we deserve what God wants to give us, so we function from a place of illegitimacy. And I felt like the Lord was talking to me, and he was like, hey, I want you to start right here. And I'm like, that's a pretty heavy start. And he said, if we don't start here, we will never attain what God has for us. See, because if we recognize, I do not want you to be illegitimate, instead of I do not want you to be lazy. I do not want you to act illegitimate. I want you to act as sons and daughters. I want you to recognize that your name is in the will. You got to see that your name is in the will. And it's a living will. Someone already died for it. So we get to participate in a living will, meaning God's promises we get on this side of heaven. There are promises on the other side of eternity. I can't wait for those. But I'm expecting those that God has promised on this side of eternity to happen. And if we don't believe that, I want to tell you we're functioning from a place of illegitimacy. Or orphans, as a lot of, but I really feel like most of us are not functioning as orphans. We know he's dad. We just don't think that we're legitimate to receive what he has for us. We know he's father. We see it, our Father who art in heaven. We know what he's saying, but we can't wrap around our mind about, but would he really give me everything he's promised? And I'm telling you, I'm not going to let go till we push in here, because we have to believe he wants it for us. He's made the way. But not only has he made the way, he's made us to walk in the way. See, I love it in the Acts when they were discovering what they should call Christianity. You ever thought about that? They're like, what should we call this? Because it's really not a religion. And they were really rejecting the idea that it was a religion. So they were like, in some of the writings, they're called, let's call it the way. Why were they saying that? Because there's a way that in which we walk, that we will receive everything. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. There's a way that God wants us to live. Listen, there is a way that God wants you to live. And I think that one of the things we've gotten off in is like, well, I'm just of the Spirit, and I'll just be led. And God's saying, here's the way. Walk in it. And then the Holy Spirit will lead you in that. A lot of people are still floating around trying to find the way. When God said, I'm the way, and this is the way I do things, and if we'll get in there and get in the way, we'll figure out that, wait a minute, I'm legitimate. Isn't that right, baby? I'm getting an amen from my granddaughter on the front row. And we have to recognize this, that God is saying, hey, I want you to imitate those who got in the, they walked in the way, they understood they weren't illegitimate. It's way better than don't be lazy. I remember when Damaris was playing soccer and we had a not very good coach. He was from this island, I won't say which one, Jackie. But he knew a lot about soccer, but he didn't know a thing about people. And he could kick the ball and wow everybody, but at the end of the game, I wanted to break him in half every game. Why? Because he didn't understand Damaris. And he would yell things like, try harder. And I believe, if you know Damaris, to inspire her is not to tell her to try harder, because she's giving 110,000% of what she has. Now, if he had said, go to the right and keep it there and keep that girl on your hip and swing around, Damaris would have been like, yes, sir. And I feel like much of what has come at people when they read scriptures like this is the enemy's like, try harder. And it hasn't inspired the body of Christ to say, God's saying, no, I'm not going to tell you to try harder. I'm going to tell you, get in to being legitimate and who you are in me, and you're going to walk in everything I have for you. See, we got to take off the grave clothes. The truth is, most of us are still letting our past determine our future. By our legitimacy, I can tell when people are up past their past when they're looking to receive what God has for. We got to get past our past. And some of that is just falling into Jesus. And if you're getting beat up about your past, I want to tell you, that's the devil. It's not our Father. He already said, I don't remember. So if you're the only one remembering, know this, you're not in God's way right there. And so what do we do with this? I've spent way more time on this, but I believe it's the key. It's out of this, the revelation that we can have faith and patience. Because if we think that faith and patience are going to come from effort, we're totally wrong. Faith and patience are never birthed in man's strength. They're birthed in the revelation that, wait a minute, I'm a son or a daughter. I'm going to use son because I'm standing up here. I'm a son, and he has a living will for me on earth. And from that, I begin to birth something of, even if I don't see it today, I'm going to see it. And even if I don't even ever see it, I'm going to believe it. Y'all are going to hear me say that to the rest of my days. Why? Because I want to hand you stuff that even I'm not going to see, that we'll believe for. But I want to see things that God has promised in this reality too, in the land of the living. So now I am confident in this. I have seen the goodness of God in the land of the living. That's what David said. He wasn't putting everything to when I get to heaven. And we've done too much of that, because we think that that's when we'll actually be cleansed, is in heaven, so we can believe for it there. Thank you, Randall. Randall got it. He was like, good job. So how do we grow in this faith and patience? The first of all, it's got to come from we're legitimate sons. My first point is my introduction. If you're not going there, the rest of what I say today will sound like effort. The rest of what I say today, you can even do, but it's got to be birthed in the Spirit. So I'm going to do these things real quick, because I actually feel like the Lord just spoke these to me really quick last night, about 10. We were in full panic mode. I was. I'm not going to lie. Number one. Recognize the fight for your affections. Recognize the fight for your affections. You want to grow and develop in faith and patience, you got to recognize that there's a fight going on for your affections. Colossians 3:2 in the King James says, set your affections on the things above. In the NIV, it says, set your mind on things above. Let me read it to you in the Passion. It says, yes, feast on all the treasures of the heavenly realm and fill your thoughts with heavenly realities and not with the distractions of the natural realm. There's a war going on for your affection. And what do I mean by that? Your time, what you are affected by, the things that affect you are your affections. The Lord told me, I was like, why'd you use affections right there? It's because that's what affects you. And we have to recognize that there are things warring for our, some of it's time. You know, like there are things warring. How many of you say you're warring for your time? Man, sometimes I want to take my phone and just smash it and just stomp on it and be like, no, I don't want that because that's warring for my affection. I am not anti-phones, anti-media, anti-information. I understand it's necessary for the generation we're living in. But when it's fighting for my affection, it's my enemy. And I have to recognize that Quit scrolling. And I'm not even going to get religious here and be like, read more Bible. I'm telling you, just know that your affections are at war. And if you don't recognize it, then you'll give it away. You'll just give it away. And I mean, it may be that he's just saying, hey, go spend time with your kids. Talk to them. It may be the spiritual. It may be times like go hang out with someone. Go see someone face to face. But listen, distractions are more. I don't want to get all weird about the phone because I want to tell you that there were distractions in the 1880s. And there were distractions in 28 AD. Jesus looks at Martha and says, you're distracted by many things. He said, your affections aren't what Mary's are right now. And the word right there for distraction, when it was Martha, he says, you're dragging weight around with you that's supposed to be off so you can actually run with me. And there are many things that we're dragging around. Some of it's our past, and it's a massive distraction. Some of it's our future that we're putting all of our hope in our future, and our present is suffering tremendously. See, no one likes that one. I'm thinking about my future. No, no. Think about your present and your future will happen. I know too many people that got the carrot dangling out in front of them and they like it because it's the only thing that will motivate them. And God's saying, no, I want to take the carrot, let's cook it, eat it, and talk about it. I want to have time with you. I don't want it to be distraction. And there are many things that can distract. I don't even want to fill in your blank because you know what's distracting you. But let me do this one real quick because the other word I felt like the Lord told me about this was substitution. You will substitute the things that God is actually has for you for the lesser things. And I know this because there I am. I'm not a morning person. Anyone with me? Man, when the morning happens, I'm like, really? The only time I ever really wake up early is to go shoot ducks. That's it. Every time else, I would rather sleep in. But recently, the Lord has just been coming to me in the mornings. And he's been like talking to me. And there's a moment where I get to substitute what I'm going to think about right there or what he wants to talk about right there. He is offering me a place of intimacy and encounter, but where my mind goes is my choice. And there's that place where it's so easy, and you can do it, you can hide it in all kinds of masks, like responsibility. I'm going to organize my day. Or I'm going to set up and be structured for today. When God is saying, come on, just be here. And literally for me, and this is just for me, he says, would you give me 10 minutes of speaking in tongues? Wake up and just speak in tongues. Why? Because I want to pray through you for what you need today, and you have no clue what you need today. So I want to just pray through you. But the substitute is, let's get the day going. Let's look at the calendar. I'm ready. And I'm not saying those things are bad, but don't let them be a substitute for the affections of your heart. God didn't say, hey, above all else, guard your calendar. He didn't. He didn't say, above all else, guard how you start your morning. He said, guard your affections. Set your affections on things above. Think about these things. Then we go to Philippians, whatever is true, whatever is just, whatever is noble, think on these things. It's the same word as affections. Set your affections on the things that God is doing, and all of a sudden you'll find that your faith and your patience are growing. Y'all with me? See, we begin to recognize then that we're training our affections, our minds, to be set on him. Number two, I'm going to make it, so just hang in there. Number two is I have to guard my heart from embracing disappointment. I didn't say we will not experience disappointment. I said I have to guard my heart from embracing disappointment. Loving it, living with it, becoming your friend, becoming your pen pal. Then your discussion, it becomes who you talk with. Guess what? Disappointment would always win if you're in discussion with it. We have to guard our heart from it. You know, one of my favorite scriptures, one of the first scriptures the Lord ever spoke to me. Isn't it funny when you don't know the scripture, but He will still talk to you in it? One of the first verses I ever heard the Lord quote was Proverbs 13:12. Hope deferred makes a heart sick. But a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. I'm sure somewhere I heard it or wrote it in a pace. But the first time I remember God speaking it to me, I was not having a hope-filled moment. Hope deferred makes the heart sick. You have to guard your heart from getting sick. You want to grow in faith and patience? If you ask me one thing I've seen that's caused people to sit down on their journey and either give up, pout, or be angry, it's disappointment and their heart being sick. Not recognizing the heart is sick. The truth is justifying the sickness of their heart. Justifying it against the knowledge of God. It's like when Deb Crone stood up here and talked about losing their daughter, and she said, I will not attribute the works of my enemy to the goodness of my God. Whether you want to receive that or not, but I'm telling you, it's kept her heart from getting sick. Because it's the truth of the kingdom. Our Father is not a harsh dad that killed their daughter and said, how are you going to respond? The enemy's still at work. If he couldn't steal, kill, and destroy, Jesus wouldn't have warned him about him. Wouldn't have warned us about him. He would have just said he's powerless. But what he was saying is he's still working his plan. Yes? The enemy is still working his plan. And God's saying, come on now, I want to make sure that you don't have any disappointment in your heart. Let me just read you a couple of verses that just totally blew my mind. Psalms 37:3, keep trusting in the Lord and do what is right in His eyes. Fix your heart on the promises of God and you will be secure feasting on His faithfulness. How do you keep your heart from being sick? Keep trusting in the Lord. Do what's right in His eyes. Fix your heart on the promises of God and you will be secure. You got to get your eyes fixed on who the promise giver is. I'm not trying to discount the situation. I'm just trying to tell you there is an answer, a solution. I believe in a solutionary kingdom. There's a solution for everything coming against us in Jesus. Jesus has already made the solution. And He's saying, I need a people who will stand from that, because if their hearts get sick, they can't even see the solution. And then they will build theology that will wreck them for the rest of their lives. They will build solutions that are in the flesh and will be unattainable, and then they'll get frustrated at God for not doing the things that they tried in the flesh. I see it. God is looking at people. I love you so much. Come on, let's journey together and have healthy hearts. Disappointment can come in all kinds of fashion. But I heard the Lord saying, I'm breathing. I'm breathing. He's willing. Mark 1, the leper asked Him. He says, I know you can do it. See, I don't think many of us have a question if God can do it in here. That's pretty much settled across the room. But the real question is He willing to do it? He's breathing. He's breathing. I saw you this morning. He's breathing on you. He's breathing on both of you, hope. He's breathing on you health. He's breathing on you life. Why? Because he's just saying, I'm not okay with how you're feeling right now. And I'm ready to come. Here I am. I'm breathing on you. I'm willing. Just hear me now. I'm willing. Stephen, it's your chance to shine here. I'm willing. He says, you're going to have the word in your mouth. I'm willing. We just bless you with heart health. He's willing. I'm not picking on him. I love him. He's willing. He's willing. Talon, he's willing. He's willing. He's speaking to your heart today. He's willing. Hope. 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 It's going to be your words. They're going to match, and your feelings are going to start matching your words. Hope. Hope to you. Heart health. Heart health. I could do that to 100 people in this room right now. So if you are struggling with disappointment, just put your hands up. He's willing. Stoney, he's willing. He's willing. He's not just able, he's willing. He literally is taking apart the thing, God, I know you're able. He's like, we settled that a long time ago. Now you got to know that you're a legitimate son and I'm willing. It's in the will. It's God's will. He's showing you that he's willing. So we just bless anyone right now that's battling with disappointment. He's willing. We just speak strength to your hearts. Last one. How do we grow and develop faith and patience? I just want to tell you, I'm going to come back to the subject. So these are just quick notes. Third one, be in love with the giver more than the promise. If you want to ask me another thing that I've seen people shipwreck their journey is that they fall in love with the promise and forget about the giver of the promise. They fall in love with their destiny. They fall in love with their call. They fall in love with the glamour of what they think it's going to be like. But if you talk to people who are in the midst of the liveliness of their call, they're still leaning into the promise giver. Because they've discovered the purpose and destiny of what it's all about is to discover with him. We got so much to tear down in the Western Church. Like, well, when I find my ministry, I'll be fulfilled. Just follow Jesus and you will minister and you will be fulfilled. I'm not saying there's not a fulfilled moment. There's a tree of life to eat from, guys. But it can't get out of order. Can't be like, I'll eat of the tree of life and that'll give me superpowers to do the destiny. No. You walk with the one who created the tree of life. And as you walk with him and you experience him and you understand, he sometimes will just hand you a piece of fruit and say, here you go. Sometimes he shows us the whole tree and says, pick it all. There's no formula. But if we fall in love with it, I'm telling you, a spirit of pride will attach with the promise. And then we become entitled and I demand it. Listen, then it's the older brother. And God's holding it back because he loves his kingdom and he doesn't want to give it away to watch it squandered. And we got a bunch of people running the church right now. And God hadn't even given me a goat. You never were to have a goat. You're supposed to have the fatted calf. He said, I don't want to give you a goat because I want to give you what you're made for. I'm going to give you the very thing I've created you for, and I'm willing to wait for that to be crafted in you so when I pour it in you, it doesn't run out. Not popular. It's not popular what I'm talking about right now because people don't want to wait. And the truth is, most people with pride or dealing with pride don't want to even discuss the fact that they have pride. Because it's a blind spot. Well, I'm just going after the purpose. Well, are you going after Jesus? Are you in full pursuit of Him? Are you willing to lay it down every day and say, God, even if I never see it, I'll trust you. I remember reading that verse that God, though God you slay me, I will trust you. I was like, I don't like that verse. And God said, you will. I was like, can I like it now? I want to like it now. I don't want to experience it. And He goes, no, that's not how this works. You will experience it and then you will say, you trust me. Why? Because keep trusting in the Lord and do what is right in His eyes. Fix your heart on the promises of God. And you will be secure, feasting on His faithfulness. Let me end with this. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. This is in the Sermon on the Mount. So it's before even a lot of people have done the stuff. But He says, there are going to be some that come to me and say, Lord, Lord, look what all the things we did in your name. Look at all the promises we accomplished. I mean, we believe the promise here that we're going to do what Jesus did, right? Yes? He is the prototype. If your goal is not to live like Jesus, your promise is you're on the wrong path. That can look like anything. That can look like business. That can look like teaching. That can look like family. That can look like anything. But it's all in the same places. He's the prototype. And what happened is these people got the formula wrong. They're like, look what we did. We cast out demons. We prophesied. And Jesus says, depart from me. I don't even know you. We cannot fall in love with the promise. Because I want to say this. Then you become a prisoner to the promise. Instead of a son with the King. And then I've just found that like such bitterness. And anger rises up in people that like, God didn't even do what He said. And He said, no, I want to. Let me work on your heart. Let's go for a walk. I want to hone something off there I'm not going to let you blow up 1,000 people to get your promise. Right? Why am I saying all this? Because I don't want to talk about promises and all of us write our dream boards down. Oh, we all have our dream boards. Here's my dream board. And God's like, hey, what about me? Where am I at in this? Oh, well, we can't do anything of this without you. No, you better lead with that. I'm not attacking the promise. I'm just attacking the focus. There's so much destiny and purpose in this room right now. There's so much that God has. There's literally communities and people crying out for you to be the manifestation of the sons of God. And God's saying, I want you to be that, but I will not do it at the cost of our relationship. I will not do it at the cost of people because you wouldn't let me hone on you. I want to give you the promise. It's your land. Now there's some things to kick out of that land. Man, Judges, I mean, I can't even go there right now, but we're going to get the stuff out of the land. If you can't tell, I feel like God's wanting to help us. If there's anything I want you to walk away today is God gave us the Holy Spirit to be able to recognize the fight going on for my affections. He gave me the Holy Spirit to guard my heart from embracing disappointment. He gave me the Holy Spirit to be in love with the giver, not just the promise. Just so you, I can be clear on what I'm not saying you can't love the promise. Everybody nod your head. Tim said, I can't love the promise. I did not say that. I said, you cannot love the promise more than the one who gave it. Or it becomes an idol. Don't hear what I'm not saying. You can love the promise when it comes through your relationship and discovery with the Father. Okay, let's stand up. If you're with us today and you really are like in wonder of what were they doing all day, and you know, I just want to tell you that God loves you. Jesus is crazy about you, and he's so happy you're in here today. And if I don't know you personally, I just want to tell you my heart is longing for an encounter with God for you. He's saying, just ask me, I'll come. If you're in here and you don't know anything we were doing today, and you're like, that's a little crazy, ask me and I'll come. I'll answer your questions. For the rest of us in here that you heard this and you're like, oh man, God, I want to walk in my promises. Let's just make sure we're not carrying anything in us of illegitimacy. So if you're comfortable with this, could everyone just raise their hands? Sons and daughters. Sons and daughters. He's answering the father question today. How much did I get in? Am I like the cousin? Just the cousin in the corner? Or am I the son that gets the ring and the robe? Am I the daughter that gets the ring and the robe and the fatted calf? God's answering that question in all of us today. He's saying we can't go forward without it. It's not optional. I don't need slaves. And in promises, I don't need friends. In promises, I need sons and daughters who recognize that they get everything Dad's giving. So I bless everyone with a hand up in here today and everyone who wants to have a hand up. That's not in here. I bless everyone online who's hearing this, and I just declare to you that would the Holy Spirit affirm and confirm in you today the spirit of adoption. Holy Spirit, come. It says you come and affirm the spirit of adoption in us, that we are now all sons and daughters of the Most High God. And then we recognize, Lord, we just declare that our affections are towards you. We recognize that our hearts, we want our hearts to be healthy with you. And we just declare that we recognize that our focus is on you, not the promise. So we bless everyone in here right now. We bless those watching online and those who are going to watch this week. We declare the presence of God is your portion this week. To know Him, to be with Him, to discover with Him, to be loved by Him. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.